And he acquired the rights, Martin Greenwald acquired the rights to 10,000 films and episodic stuff, Disney, all sorts of fun stuff. So my idea was to take that. It was kind of prior to Netflix was coming out and all these, you know, online digital media company for film. I was do that, basically take that library, take the rights, had the Criterion Collection, it's an incredible library. And unfortunately, you know, the world fell apart.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Joe Quinn Barretz. Now, Joe has worked with some of the greatest talents in the entertainment and tech industries. He produced the music video special, Smash Mouth, live from the Fillmore, the HBO rock concert, Reverb, the Rob Snyder feature film, The Chosen One, and Gumby's 50th Birthday Gala, a video special paying tribute to the well-known stop-motion animated character. But he also acquired a $100 million company just as the economy was headed south in 2008. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I wanted to say thank you for all the ways you offer support, whether that's leaving a review, sharing the show with a friend or a family member, or going and supporting me directly on Patreon. That's a huge help. It takes a lot of money, time, and energy to make this show happen. So you can go to patreon.com/AlexWilliams. Remember, Williams is W-I-L-L-I-A-M-N-S. That's patreon.com/AlexWilliams. Or just click the first link in the show notes and it'll take you right there. Enjoy the show. Joe Quinn Barretz, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
I am indeed.
All right, so let's talk about you finding yourself running a bunch of side projects. I mean, a ton of side projects, and then desperately trying to keep this deal alive. Tell us about your whole experience. Walk us through what was going on here.
Well, we're talking about Image Entertainment, which was probably my biggest failure and lesson for sure. It was in 2006, 2007-ish. I entered into an agreement during the worst economic crisis we've had, right, to acquire a NASDAQ-listed company, Image Entertainment, for almost $100 million. At the time, I was managing a small fund. It was about $20 million. We just finished a movie we produced with Rob Schneider. It was called The Chosen One. Of course, we went through hell and back with that. Independent movies, you go through hell and back and that. That's a whole other broken bulb prior to this. But I thought it would be a good idea. I was into digital media. During the economic crisis, I, again, thought it was a great idea to acquire a $100 million company. So we entered into that agreement. Image Entertainment was kind of the first Laserdisc company. And he acquired the rights, Martin Greenwald acquired the rights to 10,000 films and episodic stuff, Disney, all sorts of fun stuff. So my idea was to take that. It was kind of prior to Netflix was coming out and all these, you know, online digital media company for film. I was do that, basically take that library, take the rights, had the Criterion Collection, it's an incredible library. And unfortunately, the world fell apart. I knew nothing about investment banking at the time. I was kind of like a young, kind of snotty producer and kind of up and coming .com guy in San Francisco. Thought I could pull anything off. People were throwing money at me for all these ideas, and we had a little incubator in San Francisco. We owned some nightclubs. It was a fun time. What I kept doing, because I didn't want to fail at it, because it was a very public deal. You know, there's the Hollywood Reporter, the Variety, there's New York Times wrote a horrible article about me called Send in the Clowns. That was fantastic. And this is kind of my first big foray, right? I knew nothing about mergers and acquisitions. I got a big lesson real quick. I learned I was up 24/7. I was reading everything I could, meeting people left and right. I managed to raise the breakup fee money, which was about $4 million. And prior to me, Lionsgate tried to buy the company. They failed through a poison pill. So I figured, you know, hey, I could do it, right? I could do anything at that point. So went through the process, and it was like 6 months, and we kept extending and extending and extending. That kept giving more money and more money and more money. And finally, it was the deal just died because we couldn't come up with the rest of the money. I tried to save it by throwing another $1 million at it, and that didn't work. I guess that's the long and short of it. But during that time, there was a lot of stuff in between, obviously, that occurred.
Yeah, tell me about like what that felt like watching this deal that you'd obviously put so much effort and thought and emotion too into. You know, this is a big deal for you. What did that feel like?
It was pretty emotional. I remember the night before the press release had to come out about the deal being dead, essentially being put in breach of contract on it, and I crawled into my closet and I cried. I broke down and I cried. And at the time I knew, and my backers knew too, that it said, look, it's not your fault. It's the, you know, the economy, because the company that was going to provide 60 million of the 90, literally the guy calls me up, the banker calls me up and says, look, Joe, I can't do this because, you know, I don't know what my email address is going to be tomorrow, .gov, .bofa. We don't know what's going on. The world is falling apart. And even while that's happening, I'm still running around trying to get this deal done. Right. I figured, okay. And I don't really know what I'm doing at that point. I kind of did. I got a big quick card lesson in investment banking. You know, I didn't really know what EBITDA was at the time, but yeah, I had a really good team around me. And we definitely all learned a lot. We were all neophytes and very young, but you know, the backers at the time, they just kind of looked at me and said, look, the world's falling apart. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll get it another time. But you know, it was pretty painful. it was really painful. You know, I think if I wasn't so, for lack of a better word, cocky, if I could have just let it go earlier, we would have saved a lot of money, a lot of heartache, because I had the same heartache later on that I would have, you know, I would have had the same heartache earlier.
Yeah. To know when to let go, to know when to say, you know, all right, you know, I gave it the old college try. You know, I put that effort in. Now it's time to back off. What's thinking now to the audience? Now, a lot of the audience are entrepreneurs, you know, a lot of people who are working hard, who are trying to go out there and make a difference in their lives and the lives of others. What do you think your single recommendation based on this experience would be to them to help them, you know, in encouragement or in something that they can do today to not make a similar mistake?
You know, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, it's not, don't be embarrassed by it. I was so embarrassed by it because everybody thought I was this golden boy and I could do anything. And, you know, here I had three nightclubs in LA and I was, you know, producing movies and it was a great life, right? Hanging out with celebrities and all that fun stuff. But I worked hard, you know, I worked really hard, but I was so embarrassed to ask for help until the last minute. And I should have asked for help. So don't be embarrassed to ask for help. That's for sure. There's always somebody you know, and surround yourself with much smarter people than you. You know what I mean? And I did that later on. But I usually the smartest person in the room is the person who surrounds himself with the smartest people in the room, right? And that's the big lesson for me on that one.
And of course, at the end of every episode, I like to let you brag a little bit because, of course, you're not still down in the dumps of 2008. So fill us in. What's working for you now? What are you working on and where can we go to follow you?
We can go on my website, joequinbretts.com, and working on a book. It's kind of about my life in Hollywood, all the people I've met, the craziness that occurred. I spent the last couple of years kind of chilling and trying to get my head together and kind of been on a new TV series. Hopefully we're going to make an announcement in a few weeks on that. And so I'm pretty excited about that.
Fantastic. I'm going to have links to everything you're doing down in the show notes so that people can go and check it out and keep up to date with what you're up to. And with that, I just want to say thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, thank you. Definitely the best podcast interview I've ever been a part of, for sure.
And thank you for listening. Ask for help and surround yourself with the right people. We aren't going to get it right all the time, but we can certainly stack the deck in our favor by surrounding ourselves with intelligent people. And sometimes, even then, it doesn't always work out. Special thank you to Joe for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his work, which I've linked in the show notes. And if you want to offer support beyond leaving a review and sharing the show, please visit Patreon via the first link in the show notes. As a thank you for the support, you'll get a postcard from me wherever I happen to be at the time. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the CreateFine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.